Do you feel a shiver up your spine from fear? Yes, it's another story from the Nightshade Diary. You know what that means. Check under the bed and make sure no one or nothing is there. Is the closet door securely shut? Then leave your disbelief behind. Amp up your imagination and hang on tight for another ride into terror and mystery. And like all good horror stories, just imagine it's a dark and stormy night. And remember, screaming like a little girl is permitted. The Magician Murder by Raoul Whitfield. From the spot in which Jogar was seated, the two fighting cocks were whirling, feathered forms bouncing from the dark earth of the pit. Filipinos, Japanese, Chinese, Malays, and Portuguese filled the rising tiers of wooden benches. Their shouts were shrill and fierce. The betting was good. Already there had been several fights. The event, now underway, was the last fight of the evening. One of the cocks, a small bird named Riazo, was a champion of a distant Philippine province. Riazo seemed to be winning, and the majority of the crowd liked it. The island detective rolled the brown paper cigarette between two short brown fingers of his right hand. His face was expressionless. It was as though he were unconscious of the excitement around him. At intervals, he raised his right hand so that it was before his brown face. The fingers of the hand were spread carelessly. His blue-gray eyes looked between them. Cardoro sat on his right, some 20 feet away in the small box reserved for persons of importance. Cardoro was a magician. Cardoro the Great. He was Spanish but spoke several languages. Only 5 days ago he had reached Manila from Australia, and already was a talk of the city. Crowds stormed the box office of the theater at which he executed his magic. His name was on the lips of the mixed breeds of the island. He was a savage magician, working with knives and poisons. He made incisions on people, and there was blood in evidence. Yet, it was only a trick. The audience saw incisions that did not exist and blood that was only colored water, but they liked it, and Cardoro was great. Therefore, he occupied the box of honor. The shrill shouts now became a scream. Jogar smiled slightly as the favorite sank on the dark ground. It rose and launched itself into another attack. The larger bird met the attack with a more vicious one. The silver spurs glittered in the light, shooting down on them. Riazo was battered back, fell on its side. The larger bird was on top of it now. Spurs working Riazo's movements were convulsive. Suddenly, there were no more movements. The shrill of the crowd hushed. Filipinos were in the pit, bending over the birds. Jogar said very softly, "Another champion is dead." He raised his right hand again, spreading the fingers. Cardoro was on his feet in the box. He was staring towards the ground of the pit. He had large black eyes and a face that seemed very pale among the brown ones about him. His body was straight. He was a big man. His face seemed strained. A Filipino standing in the pit raised a short arm and said into the silence, "Riazo is dead," he spoke in Spanish. And before he could repeat the announcement in another language, Cardoro had cried out. His voice carried over the close-packed circular arena. "No," he cried in Spanish. "It cannot be." Heads were jerked in his direction. A cheering voice from somewhere below reached Jogar's ears. "It is so. Riazo is even too dead for your magic, Señor Cardoro." Jogar narrowed his blue-gray eyes very little. There was the edge of a smile on his tight-pressed lips. He looked down at the one who had jeered up at the magician. It was Markton, an American who handled many bets that were large. Markton was a gambler. It was rumored that he made good sums on the fighting cocks. It was also rumored that some of his bets were placed after he had advanced knowledge of certain facts. The Chinese did not trust him. The Chinese were known as the wisest of the gamblers. Cardoro's big body was swaying a little from side to side. His arms were drawn upward, the elbows extended, and his fists were clenched. There were white gloves on his hands. He wore them to protect his fingers, which were long and extremely sensitive. He called above the murmur of the crowd. "I will not," his voice ceased abruptly. Jogar watched him turn from the box, saw a rather pretty girl lift a hand as though to stop him. But the magician paid no attention to her. The island detective watched Cardoro move down wooden steps to a narrow exit. When he looked at Marden again, the gambler was facing the direction in which the magician had gone. He was a small, slight man, slighter even than Joe. There was a set expression on his face. His body was tense under the glare of the lights, but as Joe's eyes watched, he saw the man relax. He shrugged his narrow shoulders, looked down at the form of the dead bird. The Filipino official, who had announced the defeat of the champion, now lifted the live winner in his hands. He turned slowly with a fighting cock above his head. "The new champion," he called, "Garcia the First." There was shrill sound in the arena. A group of Portuguese sailors started down towards the pit. There was the odor of varied tobaccos and of heat of people. Betel nut chewers passed Joe, and there were red stains on the planks. It was very hot. The island detective went slowly towards an exit from the cockfight arena. The crowd milled around the day ground beyond the entrance, chattering excitedly. Calisos and noisy battered cars were making sound. Cardoro was not in sight, but there was talk of him. A well-dressed Chinese near Joe stated to his companion that the Great One had lost much money. He had backed Riazzo to the limit. Such a bet had not been made in many Sundays. Joe Garr moved slowly to his Caliso, nodded to the driver, who drowsed on the seat. Señor Ronisa passed close to the Caliso, spoke cheerfully to Joe. "I was lucky," the fat one stated. "I have won many pesos, but most have lost." Joe Garr's eyes were very small. He placed the Panama carefully over his gray hair. "It is not good when most lose," he said quietly. The fat one shrugged. "It is good for the few who win," he replied. "The winning is greater." Joe Garr smiled a little, climbed into the Caliso. The driver lifted the reins and spoke shrilly to the ancient horse. Joe said in a toneless voice, "And the hating of the losers is greater." He closed his eyes and relaxed in the seat. The Caliso jerked forward, and the light wind fanned greater heat against his face. When he opened his blue-gray eyes, they were smiling, but the smile was a hard one and very thoughtful. Sadie Ratan frowned across the few feet of Jogar's office that separated the two. He looked cool despite the heat. His khaki uniform was spotless, well-pressed. He said with a slight accent, speaking in English, "You have perhaps seen that the magician Cardoro is dead, murdered?" Joe Garr leaned back in the wicker chair. He nodded very slowly. "Yes," he replied. The Manila police lieutenant's frown deepened. There was a short silence broken by the whistle of small craft on the Pasig. "The crime was committed by the American Markton," Sadie Ratan announced. "The gambler Markton. He has been in difficulty before this. He has vanished. The constabulary has been notified." Joe Garr smiled pleasantly. "Is that so?" he said softly. "So it was Markton who knifed Senor Cardoro?" Lieutenant Ratan nodded again. He stood erect, but did not smile. "That is the way it was," he stated. "He had been betting against Markton 3 nights since he has arrived here. Large sums he had lost each time. Last evening he made a big bet. It was Sunday, and he had little money. He agreed to cable his bank in Australia this morning if he lost. He lost, and he refused to pay. At dusk tonight, he was knifed to death by Markton in his room at the Manila Hotel. Markton escaped, but he will be caught." The island detective continued to smile. "Of course," he said simply. There was another silence, and during it, Sadie Ratan watched Joe closely. "The knife we have not found. Perhaps it was not a knife. Beside the body was a blood-stained spur such as the cocks fight with. A knife spur. The wounds were on the back of the neck, many of them. The spinal column was struck. Markton was seen drinking very much at 6 o'clock. He talked of what he would do to Cardoro if he failed to pay. Perhaps it was that he fastened a silver spur to wood and used it that way. He entered the room while Cardoro was sleeping. There was no struggle. Cardoro was stunned with the first blow, and before he staggered from the bed to die on the floor, Markton had struck many others. Then he fled." Joe Garr lighted a brown paper cigarette. "Why did Senor Cardoro refuse to pay his bet?" he asked after a short time. Lieutenant Ratan smiled a little. He had been told before the cockfights that the champion bird Riazza had been drugged. The fight was not fair. Markton had bribed the Filipino who cared for Riazzo. Joe Gar smiled with his eyes almost closed. "Why did he not cancel his bet?" he asked. Sadi Ratan shrugged. Perhaps he was not sure. Perhaps Marden would not allow it. The fight was not a good one. Riazzo did not attack. Cardoro refused to pay. Marden drank sake and thought about it. He murdered the magician. Joe Gar looked at the ceiling fan that whirled at slow speed, spreading tepid air around the small office. A foolish man, he observed. He knew that murdering Cardoro would not get him the money he had won. He knew that leaving the knife spur behind would betray him. He knew that running away would make matters worse. Yet he did all three of these things. Sadi Ratan smiled narrowly. "He hated," he said simply. "It is a hot country. He drank and he brooded. Perhaps he did not intend to leave the spur behind. He fled when he discovered it was lost, or when he sobered. He knew the police would think of him." "And they did think of him," Joe said pleasantly. Lieutenant Ratan frowned again. "I attended the cockfights and was near Cardoro. I saw Markdom mock him, jeer at him. And I heard the magician call out, 'I will not.' I knew that he meant he would not pay his bet." The island detective nodded. "It was fortunate you were so near," he observed. "After the murder, you thought instantly of Markdom. You questioned the bird handlers and learned that Riazzo had perhaps been drugged and was unfit to fight, and that Cardoro had been warned of the fact. You have had the red on the spur knife pair analyzed, and you know that it is human blood. It is common knowledge that Cardoro was betting heavily. Markden has vanished. Thus, he is the murderer." Sadi Ratan's dark eyes had widened. They narrowed now. He spoke in a tone of triumph. "That is so." Joe Gar inhaled deeply on a cigarette. He regarded the police lieutenant with faint interest, reached for the palm leaf fan that was on the desk near his chair. "And it being so, why do you visit me?" he asked softly. The police lieutenant smiled, his white teeth showing. "The Senor Markden was seen with you, not long before the hour of the first cockfight," he said slowly and clearly. "You were walking along the bank of the Pasig, talking seriously. You were seen by the police." Joe Gar chuckled. "One never knows who watches," he said, half to himself. His blue-gray eyes narrowed on the dark ones of the younger man. "It is true. We walked and talked together." Sadi Ratan smiled coldly. "I think I should know what you talked about," he said. The island detective said thoughtfully, "I think you should. Senor Markden wished me to learn if the cockfight, the final one, was to be honest. He stated that he had a large sum of money involved." He paused, and after a few seconds, Sadi Ratan said impatiently, "Well, did you accept the commission?" Joe Gar nodded. "I made inquiries, I did my best, and I reported to him during the cockfights." Sadi Ratan said, "You learned that the bird Cardoro was betting on was unfit to fight?" The island detective shook his head. "I reported to Markden that I felt the birds were evenly matched physically. It would be a matter of skill." Sadi Ratan's brown face showed red color. He swore in Filipino, he said thickly. "I do not think." He checked himself. Joe Gar smiled. "Did I tell you the truth?" he asked quietly. The police lieutenant's body was tense. "You're protecting an American. You have always protected them. You like them. He was your client." Joe shrugged his narrow shoulders. "I was not paid that well," he said with irony. "I doubt that I could ever be paid that well. Riazzo was not drugged. You have no proof of it." Sadi Ratan said hotly. "I stood over Juan de Rigo when he told me." Joe chuckled again. "A Filipino does not like to be beat," he said. "He preferred to let you think as you wished." The police lieutenant said, "It will not be good of you to protect Markden, Senor Gar. When we have caught him..." The island detective fanned himself. His smile was gone and he said slowly, "The birds were in condition, each of them. Riazzo was defeated. That is all." Sadi Ratan said excitedly, "It is not all. Markden was betting against Cardoro. Cardoro stood up and shouted that he would not pay. I saw Markden's face. There was hate in his eyes. And Cardoro was murdered. A spur knife was used. Markden has vanished. We have searched the city for him. He is the killer of the magician." Joe Gar sighed. Then it is all very simple, he said quietly. You will find him, and that will be the end. His calmness infuriated the police lieutenant. He said fiercely, and you will be brought to trial for lying to me, a police officer. Jogar placed the palm leaf fan on the desk. It was almost midnight, he said thoughtfully. He was murdered at dusk. That would be about 8:30. You have been searching for the American for 3 hours. That would give the real murderer sufficient time to travel far. Sadi Ratan swore again. He pointed a brown finger at Joe. We will not accept the alibi that you established for the American, he said. Remember that. Joe Gar smiled pleasantly. That is unfortunate, he said. The police lieutenant went to the office door, turned and faced the island detective. Morgan was sitting on the grounds of the Manila Hotel at 8:15. He said grimly, the sun was very low over the bay. He was seen by several servants, and then he was not seen again. At the time he was seen, the magician was in his room sleeping. There is a porch through which one may enter. Joe smiled cheerfully. In a hot, sunny country, the screen porch is desirable, he said softly. Sadi Ratan pointed a finger at him again. His voice was rising as he spoke. It will be bad for you, he warned. A murderer is a murderer. Jogar leaned back in the wicker chair and closed his almond-shaped eyes. It is so, he agreed almost tonelessly, and I think it would be wise for you to find this one. Sam Markton sat slumped on the bench that faced the door of the dully lighted hut. A faint, hot breeze rustled the thatch roof. Markton seemed smaller than ever. His eyes moved at every sound. He was perspiring heavily. He spoke in a thick voice, softly and unsteadily. I tell you, they'll get me. They hate me in Manila. The fight was on the level. Maybe some haven't been in the past. This one was. They'll get me and frame me. You've got to do something, Senor Gar. Joe Gar shook his head. I have not got to do something, he corrected, but your position is unfortunate. The police will not even believe me when I tell them you wish me to learn if the cockfight was to be fair. They will laugh at that. If I told them Cardoro had asked me that, they would have believed. But you? He checked himself. Somewhere beyond the hut, on the edge of Manila, a dog howled. Markton shivered. Joe Gar said slowly and firmly, you have sent for me. You trust me. Do not trick me. Did you murder Cardoro? Martin sat up straight and struck clenched hands together. No, no, he said desperately. I threatened him, yes. That was in the afternoon, but I didn't kill him. I went to the hotel grounds to talk to him again, just before dusk, but I was afraid to trust myself. I didn't see him. I went away. Then word reached me of what had happened. I hid out here and sent for you. Joe nodded. It was difficult for me to reach you without being followed, he said. The police are watching me carefully. The American groaned. They'll get me, he breathed. I'd won from Cardoro, so much that I wanted this last fight to be absolutely fair. It had to be, or I knew he'd squeal. That's why I sent to you. Joe frowned. It's a bad alibi. In any case, in this case, it's impossible. Mark then covered his soaked face with both palms and rocked on the bench. The dog howled again, Joe Gar said. You do not know of any enemies Cardoro might have had? Mark then removed his hand, shook his head. I didn't know him well. He was just a man with money who wanted to bet. The island detective frowned. You drank and talked. Made threats before others? Mark then's eyes were staring beyond Joe. I drank sake, but I didn't make any threats. Only to Cardoro, and we were alone. I was careful not to make threats. Joe sighed. It is difficult, he said. It was a good thing for someone who hated him enough to kill this hatred of yours. But if we do not know the one who could have made use of it... He broke off, marred and muttered. Billy Bid, I'll hang for it. They won't believe me. Joe Gar closed his eyes. He said in a calm voice, if you hang for it, I will be forced to leave the islands. I think you are telling the truth. I do not wish to leave Manila. You do not wish to hang. You'll stay here and I will do what I can. Markton stared at him with bloodshot eyes. But what can you do? He muttered. All the evidence is against me. all that they have. Jogar rubbed moist fingers together and smiled grimly down at the gambler. Perhaps there will be some evidence they do not have, he said softly. There is a chance. The American said bitterly, it's a hell of a chance. Jogar drew a deep breath and shrugged. Even a hell of a chance is worthwhile. He observed steadily and softly and went cautiously from the thatch-roofed hut. The girl said, it seems to me it's pretty late for me to have to talk about his terrible thing. Jogar stepped inside the large, high-ceilinged room, smiled apologetically. It is so, Miss Rain, he said. It is almost 1 o'clock. I am sorry. The girl stood aside as he moved to the center of the room. There was moonlight beyond the Manila Hotel on the water of the bay. The girl was pretty, but her mouth and eyes were hard. She said huskily, I've been questioned by the police. The island detective nodded. Yes, he replied, I suppose so. I am not of the police. She watched him very closely. I know. You're Senor Gar, a private detective. Joe bowed slightly. The girl said, Markden did this terrible thing. I was to have married Dario next week. The island detective said gently, looking at the older woman seated in the room, you think Martin killed Dario Cardoro? The girl said, yes, yes, I do. I'm sure of it. I was with Dario at the cockfights. He was sure he had been tricked. He said he would never pay. Riazzo had no life, no fight. Dario left me in the box, hurried away. He was terribly upset. Joe gestured toward a chair. Please sit down, he said. The girl went down slowly to the chair, sat down. She looked at the older woman and said, this is my companion, Senora Regia. The Spanish woman bowed, her eyes on Joe's. She was short and thick-set, her body relaxed in the chair. It is terrible, she said with an accent. Jogar nodded. It is bad for Senor Markden, the American, he stated. He was owed money by the dead man. It was refused him. He threatened the dead man. He was on the hotel grounds not long before the murder was committed. He has vanished. The girl said, they will find him, the police. The island detective nodded. I think so, he agreed. But he is not the murderer of the magician Cardoro. The girl's brown eyes widened. She said in a half whisper, not the murderer? Joe smiled gently. His eyes were on the older woman. Her hands were gripping the sides of the wicker chair. Far out in the bay, a big boat whistled slowly as he spoke. Markden has been in trouble with the police before. He has shot a man. He possesses a gun. He did not use it on Cardoro. The older woman said abruptly, that was because he did not wish to give himself away. He wished the police to think it was some other person, not an American. Americans do not use knives. Jogar said, that is good reasoning, Senora. Almost too good. He looked at the girl again. There was a short silence. Then Joe said pleasantly, I have been looking at the body. Cardoro was killed by a strong person. The girl said, a strong person? That is not so. The doctors have said that the spur blade did not penetrate more than an inch, a blow to the base of the brain. The island detective interrupted, but his tone was cold and his words unhurried. And Markden is not a strong person, he suggested. The girl said with scorn, of course not. He is smaller even than you. Joe bowed slightly. That is so, he agreed. I felt that you were aware of the fact that Markden is not strong. There was a knock at the door of the room. The girl rose. Before she reached the door was open, Sadi Ratan entered. He said quickly, looking at the Spanish woman, I felt that you should know, Senora. He stared at Joe, broke off. The island detective smiled at him. I came to talk with Miss Rain, Lieutenant, he said. Sadi Ratan frowned. Then his eyes narrowed until there were slits in his brown face. We have captured the American, Markden, he said grimly. He has admitted that Senor Gar visited him tonight. That is bad for you, Senor Gar. You are protecting a murderer, one wanted by the police. Jogar said quietly, one wanted by the police, but not a murderer. The police lieutenant said in a hard tone, he will confess very soon. And even if he does not, the island detective smiled at his lips. You will try to hang him anyway, he finished. Sadi Ratan let his right hand go back towards the hip pocket. He said in a hard tone, it will be necessary for me to place you under arrest in your car for interfering with the police and for aiding a murderer. Joe shook his head. Senor Markton is not yet a murderer, he reminded. He has not been found guilty. The girl said with scorn. His record is not good. He has shot a man. He is a gambler, and he has been caught cheating before this happened. He killed Dario because Dario refused to pay him. Joe shook his head. His eyes were very small. You know much about the American, he said calmly. Almost too much. Sadi Ratan was watching him closely. Joe looked at the girl, addressed the police lieutenant. The great Cardoro has done his tricks here often, for a period of years. He's Spanish. There's a bond between him and the Spanish here. There's a Spanish paper in Manila. News of Spaniards all over the world reaches it and is printed or filed away in the paper morgue. I've been looking through the morgue files. I find that Cardoro was worth twice as much as 2 years ago than he was 6 months ago. His losses were due to gambling. I found a later item stating that Cardoro the Great had become engaged to an American girl at the theater, Miss Jessie Rain. And I found one more item of 3 months ago. In Melbourne, a gambling place was raided. One of the heaviest losers had been Cardoro. He had stated that he was willing his money to Miss Rain, his fiancée, and that on the day of their marriage, he would never gamble again. The girl was watching him narrowly. Her breathing was heavy. The older woman was tense in her chair, Joe said, smiling a little. So, there you are. Sadi Ratam said sharply, There you are? Where? What of it? Joe Gar shrugged. But Cardoro has continued gambling, continued losing. His fortune is willed to Miss Rain. But will there be any fortune? Will there have been any fortune if Cardoro had not been? The girl shrilled at him. You are telling me that I killed Dario? You dare? Joe Gar shook his head. I am not, he said quietly. You did not love him, but you did not kill him. You do not know so much about knives, and you are not strong enough. The girl's eyes were wide. Her face was pale. Sadi breathed something that the island detective did not catch, he said softly. But you realize, Miss Rain, that the money you had married Cardoro for would not be for you unless something was done. And you decided that something should be death. The girl cried, No! Joe Gard said steadily, Yes. You waited for the opportunity. The American, Martin, offered it. He had reason to hate Cardoro. He had a record, and you knew about it. He was a gambler on cockfights, and that was why the bloodstained knife spur was found beside the dead man. But you went too far. Martin is an American, and he would not kill and then boast about it, as a Filipino or a Spaniard might do. He would not hate that much. He paused and said very slowly, Cardoro was killed with a knife, not a cockfight spur. He was killed by a strong man or woman who knew how to handle a knife. He was killed by, he turned and looked at the girl's companion. He said quietly, You murdered Dario Cardoro. You did not throw the knife far enough into the bay in your hurry, and you were seen throwing it. I have the knife. The woman sprang from the chair. She screamed in Spanish terribly. From the folds of her dress, steel color caught the light of the room. Her right arm was lifted. Joe Gar said, Stop! The woman's right hand went down into the folds of the black dress she wore. She said in a hysterical tone, You lie! Joe Gar's right hand made a swift movement. His Colt was low at his side. No, he said steadily. I do not lie. You murdered Cardoro. Drop the knife you were about to throw on the floor. The woman was breathing heavily. Her eyes held a wild expression, but her hand remained in the folds of her black dress. Joe said, Quickly, drop it! He raised the gun slightly. The knife made clattering sound as it struck the wood of the floor. The woman in black slipped downward slowly in a faint. Joe said, Well, I have the knife now, anyway. He went over and picked it up. She did not throw it into the bay, and she was not seen throwing it. But I was coming close, and her nerves. The rain girl was on the divan, rocking back and forth. Her eyes stared somewhere beyond the figure of Joe Gar. She spoke in a monotone. She made me. Tell her when Dario slept. She used the knife and left the knife spur, touching in his blood. She hated him. He loved her once, but he sent her away. He was losing, gambling away all the money he had willed to me. She made me help her. She was to have some of the money. I didn't want to do it. Jogar looked at Sari Ratan. I thought at first that he had been murdered outside, carried in. That was wrong. And I thought that the knife had been thrown away. That was wrong, too. But when I saw the woman's eyes, saw her watching me, he shrugged. The woman on the floor stirred and moaned. The rain girl said. He was brutal. It was self-defensive. He was brutal to both of us. Jogar smiled slightly. Your defense is your own affair, he said gently. I am very little interested. Lieutenant Ratan frowned and swore. Jogar said, you were so sure of the American, so sure he was guilty. Now you must free him. Sari Ratan muttered. All the evidence we had pointed to him. Jogar sighed. That is so, he agreed softly. And that was why I had to go to a newspaper and seek the evidence. You did not have.